agenda item A on the budget update. I'm going to turn it over to you, Director Anderson.
Thank you very much, and I'm going to turn it over to Joe Storr.
Morning, Commissioners. I'm going to work off of two documents that you should have received. One a couple days ago, titled State Budget Update. It's got a May 5th date on it. And then the other is a piece that we put together about a year ago that describes our operating budget that you should have received yesterday. What I want to do today is just to use a little bit of time in this call to provide you context for the operating budget development that'll be occurring between now and our submittal to OFM in September. We will be coming to you in August at the August meeting with draft proposals for the maintenance level increases. Maintenance level, remember, in the budget are those items that are mandatory or those that have been funded in the past and need to go forward. And we'll be talking to you about policy additions, new activities. And then you'll have the month between August and the September meeting to review that, to interact, to ask questions, whatever, and then we would look for approval of our budget submittal at the September meeting. And I don't have a firm date yet, but usually those are due to OFM about mid-month September. So wanted to just start your start the thought processes around budget development. And this is going to be another, in addition to our thoughts about needs and adds, what you're going to hear in the next couple of minutes is the very, very, very bad situation we have in terms of the state budget. And what I'd like to do is turn to the PowerPoint that I sent you, or Tammy sent you over the last week, titled State Budget Update. And we'll just walk you through that. Does everybody have that?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. So this was a PowerPoint that was presented to the cabinet by David Schumacher. Remember, David Schumacher is the director of the Office of Financial Management, and he was briefing cabinet members around the budget situation and the challenges ahead. I'm flipping through this now to the about the fourth page, with where the title is, "Why will the 2015-17 budget be so difficult?" So next session, beginning mid-January, is the long session. It's the budget session. It'll be taking place right after the November election, so the legislature may or may not look similar to what it does today. And the McCleary decision, I think, we have the election dynamic going on, probably going to, I mean, my best guess is the Republican hold on the Senate may be stronger, and the Democratic hold on the House probably about the same. So you're going to have two different parties in control of the two different houses. And then we've got the McCleary decision. That was the Supreme Court decision that required the legislature on a constitutional basis to fund K through 12 education. People talk in numbers around $5 to $7 billion in terms of need over the next 5 or 6 years. That's putting a huge, huge crimp on budget planning and is a real driver for this next session. The first slide that I'm referring to on about page 4 talks about the fact that during the current biennium, the budget shortfall that they dealt with a little over a year ago, year and a half ago, was fixed largely by relying on solutions that aren't available again, one-time solutions. You can see some of the examples there. They took $387 million of capital budget and moved it into operating. They captured $351 million with the Affordable Care Act coming into play and savings that occurred by expanding Medicaid, and raised another $272 million with a hospital safety net assessment. So those were actions they could only do once, and they won't be available for this next budget. Now I'm moving ahead two slides to looking ahead to the 25-17 budget. And just the notion that they're facing another shortfall. I'm turning to the next page. In the current budget, we once again, in this biennium's budget, they suspended teacher COLAs, cost of living increases, that were mandated essentially by a citizen initiative. And they, for the sixth year in a row, I think it is, they didn't provide state employees with pay raises. Still having made those kinds of cuts, they fell short of the target for this biennium of $1.5 billion for the McCleary basic education obligation. The McCleary situation, because they fell short, has gotten hotter, gotten more intense. I don't know if you saw it or not, but there was a recent request by the plaintiffs in the McCleary decision to hold the legislature in contempt. They went to the court and said, the legislature's not stepping up and funding education, and you ought to hold them in contempt. And that just adds heat to the fuel there and the debate. So I'm moving forward now to the next page where it says the state revenue collections are expected to grow by more than $2 billion. So, it's $30-plus billion budget revenue. The taxes we're going to bring in to the general fund are actually expected to grow $2 billion. So what's the problem? That is described on the next page. I'm looking at the page titled 2015 to 17 Operating Budget Outlook. And when we talk about the general fund, we really mean near general fund. It's general fund state, which is made up of B&O taxes, various taxes. There's also a couple of other accounts, the education legacy trust account, which is, DNR trust lands, and then the opportunity pathways account. I'm not sure what that is, but when we talk about fund account and revenue collection, it's those three, and they're projected to produce $2.4 billion additional dollars for the budget. But that's quickly eaten up by the costs below. You see maintenance and carry forward costs at about $1.8 billion. They need to put $339 million into the pension to keep the pension current. There's $198 million in debt service funding. That's the money that needs to go into the bonding system. They need to increase employee health care by $236 million. The I-732, those are the teacher cost of living increases I was speaking to. They need, if they fund those, it's $226 million. There's a number of policy enhancements that people want to consider, including employee salary increases, early learning, higher education costs, college tuitions, et cetera, keeping them down. And then the McCleary piece is tagged on to the end there with a target of somewhere around $1.5 billion to $2 billion that they would hope to pay towards K through 8 education next biennium. So you can see where the costs, at least at this starting point, are and how they take over and require much more than the projected new revenue. So the next page gives you even a more defined sense of the problem statement. When you look at the overall state budget, I'm looking at a pie chart now. Two-thirds of the budget is tied to constitutional or federal requirements. So that bottom half of the pie chart with nursing, home costs, K through 12 education, mandatory Medicaid, and debt service is off limits. You can't cut that if you need to. The only place you can cut is in the other third, higher ed, corrections, other human services and other, with an asterisk, other includes natural resource agencies. We're a little less than 1% of that 6.5%. And that percent of the share of the general fund has been shrinking for a number of years now. So to solve this $2 billion plus problem, you only have about a third of the state budget to reduce. So just talking a little bit about that structural problem and how it looks this next biennium in fiscal year 16, fiscal year 17, that begins in July of 2015, you can see that the future doesn't look any brighter. There's more of a challenge. I'm looking at the slide that has the four bar graphs titled Meeting Our Basic Education Obligations. And the huge weight that the McCleary decision puts on these years to come, that's the top portion of those bar graphs. The teacher COLAs are the darker section, and then other costs of college, including enrollment, where in five years from now, 30,000 more students within the school system. So looking forward, we've got a huge burden to get through, and that'll be something the legislature will have to consider on some level. But they'll be primarily focused on the first two bars, fiscal year 16 and fiscal year 17, next biennium. The next two slides about revenue collections at a historically low level and then where Washington ranks in terms of tax collections were included by David Schumacher, because essentially what's being set up is a discussion around what we, in terms of producing a constitutional budget, it's going to be full of a lot of terrible, painful cuts. And there's a legal requirement to produce what's called a Book One budget that is all about managing within existing revenues and existing resources. And then what they will probably do is come out with a Book Two budget, which will look at new revenue ideas, and that'll come out later in the session. Book One will be probably around February, and Book Two sometime after that. You can see that Washington ranks fairly low in state and local tax collections compared to other states, the highest being Alaska and North Dakota, where you have a lot of oil revenues, oil taxes that are coming into the state coffers. And then the last page of this that OFM presented to the cabinet is, so what are we going to do? And you get a general sense of the strategic direction they want to go in. They're going to be, of course, looking hard at efficiencies and lean initiatives. They're going to ask us to prioritize our spending, so if cuts have to occur, they know where they need to take place. They're looking at reducing costs of healthcare, closing up loopholes on tax collection, new revenue ideas, and continuing to, through all of that, grow jobs, so you grow the economy and increase that revenue collection piece. So I wanted you to have a sense of at the statewide level, what the thinking of the current administration is. And then I want to turn to the other handout, which is our agency budget. This was produced about a year ago. And if you turn to the middle of that, the second and the third page of that four-page handout, you can see where our funds go. Our agency activities are divided into about 11 different categories. This is how we communicate our budget activities to OFM and to the public. And we have identified by each of those categories the general funds that we have. We have, at the beginning of the biennium, we had about $59 million in general fund. Currently, we're at 60.8, so about $61 million. We got a little bit of additional in our maintenance level during the supplemental session. But you see that our big general fund uses really reside in three places. So if we're asked to cut general fund, we have to either go to our fish programs, our enforcement programs, or our habitat-related programs, HPAs and habitat conservation. Those are the only places we have to go if we have to take cuts. So this document is available if you're out talking to members of the public and they're asking where their general fund dollars go, or we often get asked where hunting and fishing revenues go, and you can see those identified in the light green in each of those categories. So this has been a very helpful document that we've updated and used over the last 5 or 6 years now. So we are expecting early next week to receive direction from OFM on budget preparation, and as I said before, we'll be coming to you in August and September because we'll have to get it to OFM by September. The agency has been working for a number of months now on ideas for budget requests, both at the maintenance and policy level. And if you're interested about those, we can share those. We're still refining those down, but we've come quite a ways on those. We have been working on ideas for new revenues. We've got right now about five different packages, at least, maybe more, where if we have to experience a major budget cut, we'll have these ideas cooked, and we're getting ready to start to talk to stakeholders about them, want to talk to you about them once we get closer to being final. Happy to talk to you about them now in the state that they're in, but I wasn't going to do that during this call. And then what we've heard recently, just over the last couple of weeks, expect it in writing early next week, is that we are going to, like all agencies, be asked to provide information on what a 15% cut would look like to our state general fund. 15% would be about $9 million. And they're asking us to prioritize those cuts. What would we cut first? What would we hang on to last or try to buy back if we had new revenues? They're also allowing us, we expect in this guidance, to provide ideas about new tax revenues. I don't know if you remember or not, but about a year ago in March of 2013, when the legislature was headed towards two special sessions, agencies were asked to look at a 10% reduction in general fund. And when we did that, what came out of that was major reductions to hatchery production, especially as it related to the commercial sector of fisheries. That's because the commercial sector does not contribute in as significant a fashion to the wildlife account, to the state activities, as recreational fishers do. So we started there in terms of look at some reductions. There were reductions in monitoring of fish, herring in particular, important to Puget Sound Partnership. There were a number of other reductions, pretty serious, a lot of reaction. Samish hatchery up in the north part of the sound, was production was reduced there. Willapa, Grays Harbor, Hood Canal, commercial fisheries. We had five enforcement officers potentially at risk under a 10% cut exercise. We had serious impacts to our HPA and habitat protection programs. Again, along the lines of where the money sits in that handout that I gave you. And then, of course, we had cuts to our business services functions, IT, budget management, overall agency management. All those things were included at the 10% level, and now we're talking about a 15%. So another another 50% addition. So this is going to be really ugly in terms of what we have to come up with, and we're going to get started on that real soon and start to think about, well, of course, we'll be thinking about efficiencies. We'll be thinking about cost savings first. Like I said, we'll be looking at new fund ideas, but we've got to get out pretty soon with messages around what this 15% reduction scenario looks like, which stakeholders are impacted, which resources are at risk, and we're talking about doing that sort of concurrent with working with the commission, letting staff know, you know, how we're thinking about this. So there's a huge challenge in front of us for the next couple of months to develop these different packages, to vet them in front of you and in front of the public and our staff, and then to submit something in a prioritized fashion come September. So again, wanted to just use this, 20 minutes, half an hour to bring you, get you in the loop, keep you in the loop, and we'll have more discussion about this, more details next week at the meeting. Be happy to answer any questions.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Are there commissioners any questions for Joe? Commissioner Walker?
Yeah. Thanks, Joe. That was a really good summary of some very bad news. And I also wanted to compliment you on the information that the department has assembled, because I think it's very clearly done. And
thank you.
Gives you the gist very nicely. I wanted to ask you to refresh my memory about where the license fees go to. Are they some of the, I thought the salmon licenses, sport licenses used to be, the revenues used to be deposited into the state general fund, and then there's been a push in past years to change that and deposit those funds into the wildlife account. So where are we with that again?
The recreational fishing licenses go into the wildlife account and make up a good portion of it. The commercial licenses go into the general fund, except for the administrative costs that we accessed and, you know, essentially created. I think it was $75 per license, depending on the type. And the commercial fisheries were the $105, and those come back to the wildlife fund. So the license fees, commercial themselves, go into the general fund, but the administrative costs are captured in the wildlife account.
And if I could add to that, sure. your recollection, Commissioner Walker, is correct that it had for a number of years following merger, particularly the saltwater license, recreational license fees did go into the general fund. I believe it was in the beginning in the 11-13 biennium, that was changed. I believe that, yeah, I'll check my dates, but it might have, 09-11, yeah,
might have been.
Probably was. So that, we did make a change there and got the balance of the fishing license fees that were going into the general fund are now all going into the wildlife account.
Okay. That's helpful, because that explains why we have a fairly significant amount of state wildlife account funds, $9.4 million going into fish production. So does that represent all of the sport license revenues that go into the wildlife account? Are they all swept into fish production and fish management costs?
The contribution from recreational fishing licenses into the general fund, into the wildlife account, I think is right around $30 million a biennium, okay. Right in that neighborhood. We can get you the exact numbers, but it's a significant amount. So you can see where state wildlife account shows up on that handout on the second and third pages. You'll see a contribution from the state wildlife account in just about every category. Mm-hmm. Some of those revenues are coming, of course, from hunting licenses. Some of them are coming from fishing licenses, but they're distributed in a variety of ways amongst those 12 or 13 activities that are listed there.
Okay.
The majority of the state wildlife account dollars that go into fish production, which is the second category there, are going to raise trout. The majority of the revenue that supports salmon production comes from DJ dollars and federal dollars, and then the local dollars, which would be the local PUDs, Grant, Chelan, Douglas County, other Tacoma,
yeah.
That contribute, that are part of that other or local dollar category that we use as fish production as mitigation for largely in response to the hydropower systems.
Mm-hmm. Complicated, in other words.
Yeah, Joe, Commissioner Smith, I have a quick question. Is the Discovery Pass factoring into any of this in a way that's more than negligible?
Discover Pass, it goes into the wildlife account. It's you know, we track it separately, but it's nearly $2 million a year.
Okay.
So it's not too bad.
And the license plate revenue, we still are not able to recapture all of that?
License plate revenue goes into some special sub-accounts that have special uses for them, and those aren't shown. They are shown on the handout that I gave you under the dedicated accounts.
Oh yeah, okay.
We have about 30 something dedicated accounts.
Is the state going to push the Discovery Pass or market it more?
Well, the governor's task force on recreation has three primary purposes, and the task force, which I sit on for the agency, is expected to make recommendations in September in line with the budget development process. Those three focus areas include funding for parks and other state lands, increased tourism to build the economy, and getting youth more involved. Those are the three primary. There's more to it if you look at the governor's executive order that established the task force, but long-winded way of answering, Vice Chair, that Discover Pass is among those ideas that's being kicked around by the task force and ultimately by the governor.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Any other questions on agenda item number one?
Mr. Vice Chair,
Director.
For Commissioner Wecker, on the request of the commissioners, of course, the 11th in the 11-13 biennium, the actual revenue from fishing licenses was $34.8 million, and we're projecting in the 13-15 biennium, we're projecting $40.4
million. Oh,
that just as a comparison. In the 11-13 biennium, that 34.8 for fishing compares to hunting at 33.7 million.
Thank you. Any other questions on agenda A?
All right. Mr. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Yeah, I
Commissioner Wicker.
Would like to probe a little bit or just put some of the concepts on the table that we're talking about regarding revenue enhancements, added fees. So, Joe, could you just give us general categories of in the way you're thinking about it? Because I think if this is inevitable, if it's really something we must do, and we have that growing likelihood that we're going to have to do it, I think we need to start talking about it. Because there's going to be reactions, of course. Our stakeholders have been hit once in recent times, and they're going to feel like we're asking them again to open up their wallets. And I'm sure they're going to want to hear from us how we're going to do this in a way that is acceptable and perhaps even seen as beneficial to them. So could you just give us the broad brush concepts?
Yeah, and Joe will do that, Commissioner Wecker. We are, we've been kicking around, we've been spending a lot of time the last couple of months looking at some of these different ideas. To a certain extent, kind of awaiting to see what the state budget outlook was going to be before we really got a kind of a target in mind of what, how much revenue we thought we were going to need to raise and what the different approaches might be to raising that revenue. And we will certainly provide the commission as part of the director's report next Friday some more detail than what we were planning to do today. We're happy to run down some of those concepts this morning. Obviously one of the big issues, as you pointed out, is where do we think we might be able to get some support for the fee, any fee or revenue enhancements that we might propose. We're a little bit behind in terms of stakeholder outreach relative to where we were the last time that we were moving forward with a license fee increase. Part of that is as a result of the uncertainty about what types of challenges we might be looking at the next biennium, which are coming into greater clarity now. I don't like what I'm seeing, but it's becoming more clear. And the other backdrop, I guess, is that to all of this is that we have a number of issues that we're working with the recreational community on are difficult issues. So the level of concern from the recreational community with respect to some of those issues, we may be in a little bit more difficult climate with that in that respect than we were last time around. But with that, Joe will give you a couple of the key points that we've been looking at.
Well, and as the director said, we've been waiting to see where the governor was going, where the federal budget's going, and we have that clarity now. So the generation of these 15% reduction packages are going to be the crisis, the potential crisis, and provide that clarity director was talking about. So we've been looking at five different general areas. One has to do with the Columbia River commercial salmon and the implementation costs around the new commission policy. Thought process there maybe was to create a new Columbia River gillnet license or something like that, some sort of fee on commercials. maybe a partially shared with recreational. A second had to do with shellfish protection and public safety, huge issues, not just around gooey duck, but on shellfish in general, and looking at potentially dealing with the exemption on excise tax for shellfish aquaculture or something like that, that would provide more enforcement officers to get out on the water and provide that oversight. A third idea has to do with the huge backlog we have on hatchery maintenance and facility maintenance, and trying to gauge whether there would be interest in license, recreational and commercial license increases to assure continued production. Right now, we're really at a, I'll take that back. We've got, the last couple of years, we've had some pretty good support out of the capital budget. But in a lot of ways, and for those maintenance kind of needs that you don't get funding for in the capital budget, we're at a, you know, it breaks and we go and fix it. We don't have the ability to keep things up to date or assure production on the short term. So we were looking at license fee increases there, both for commercial and recreational. Fourth idea had to do with the Lower Columbia and the potential impact from the Mitchell Act. It's looking more and more like the major federal impact we're going to see next biennium is about an $800,000 reduction in Mitchell Act, which goes to fish production and hatcheries on the Lower Columbia. And so there we were looking at maybe a new commercial and sport endorsement that would allow fishing below Tongue Point and in Willapa, Grace Harbor, Pacific Ocean. And then the last idea we're contemplating is something around a sustainable fisheries package that deals with ESA compliance, co-management responsibilities, federal management responsibilities. And the thought there was maybe create a new commercial fishing license and add dedicated fees to sport and commercial license, maybe restructure the razor clam licenses. So, again, all of these still taking shape. We had a list of about 20 different ideas that we've winnowed these down to five. If you ask me right now, you know, if we didn't have the 15% exercise, I think we would have a huge hill to climb to get in to get stakeholder support for any of these. I think even with the 15% reduction and the recent increase in fees, I think we still got a huge challenge in front of us. Like I said earlier, that $9 million reduction in general fund, if it was to occur, there's going to be real pain associated with it in a lot of ways. So challenges trying to pull that 15% package together and then get the communication going with stakeholders as their willingness to accept those reductions or, you know, work with us in the legislative process to not have those occur and or to look at new revenues to offset those reductions. So more to come next week. Happy to answer any questions you have. It's going to be a very challenging summer.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe. That's exactly what I was looking for, just the broad brush.
Yeah. Any other commissioners have any final thoughts on Agenda A? Again, thank you. Yes, I'm sorry.
Oh, this is Commissioner Holzmiller. After having listened to all of this, it looks like we're facing some inevitable feed raises. Any ideas on how we can get ahead of this, the PR part of it, to get it out to our constituents that what we're facing and why we're going to have to do what we're going to have to do rather than just blindside them with a fee increase?
Well, we, Commissioner Holzmiller, we won't blindside them. We can't blindside them and expect right. any kind of support. So what we've got to do is, now that we know what OFM needs of us and we have some clarity about the overall state situation, we've got to get this 15% package together. We have to be able to also, I think, as a precursor to that, we got to talk about where their existing dollars go. So they get a sense of what they're paying for now and the value of that, and that they're not paying somebody else's bill. They're paying for the services we deliver. We got to be able to talk to them about what efficiencies we've acquired or what other reductions we've done internally. And then we talk about, you know, what the state budget situation might mean in terms of fish production, in terms of habitat protection, enforcement, et cetera. So you're exactly right. We got to get out there. We got to get out there pretty soon. It's probably not going to be until July that we have our own internal thoughts about how we would take the 15%. But the director and I were talking just a little while ago that, you know, we got to probably start this in July, and then we'll be working it through. There aren't going to be any legislative decisions, remember, until April. So we have from July to April to work with stakeholders so we don't blindside them. A lot of people are talking about, with the split legislature and the huge problem that we got here, the debate about taxes, et cetera, that, you know, we're likely to be in a setting where a special session is likely. So think about, you know, any advice you have for us about how we get out, but we've got the July to April time frame roughly to work this.
Well, that's my thoughts, that we have a pretty bitter pill that needs to be swallowed, and the quicker we can get ahead of this thing and get the stakeholders aware of what's coming down the pipe, the better off we're going to be.
I think you're exactly right.
Thank you.
Hey,
Mr.
any
Vice
other?
Chair?
Yes.
Yes. One other idea. I recall that, I don't remember who gave us the presentation, but I think it was Owen, someone else in business administration, business services, that described the last set of increases on the fishing side and on the hunting side. And I recall coming away from that presentation understanding what a big increase we imposed on the hunting side, and it actually seemed to produce a drop in the number of hunting licenses purchased, because the percentage increase on the hunting side was greater than the percentage increase on the fishing license side, as I recall. So I came away thinking that we probably were testing that point of what the economists call the elasticity of demand, where if you increase the license too much, people start doing something else. They'll start refusing to pay that extra. So one thought would be, I'd like to see some of the data that you can put together to kind of get as much of a sense of where we are, so that at least other commissioners understand what we did last time in increasing the percentage increases that we imposed on. And I think we also need to be pretty clear that we're not talking about hunting fee increases. If that's true, we should be making it pretty clear. And another thought was that we might want to look at how other states support their fish and wildlife departments. How many other states rely on, how we fall within the other, in comparison with the other states in terms of our license costs. Be curious about that.
Yeah, we, this is Phil, we did, we can easily, we had a spreadsheet that showed the change in license fees from what they had previously been to what the legislature adopted, and we can easily get that to you. I think what we found, I don't think the percentage increase varied that much between fishing and hunting licenses, but what I think we did see is that the average cost that an individual spends to get themselves licensed to pursue their hunting activities is significantly higher than it is to buy licenses to prepare yourself to go and pursue the fishing opportunities that you'd like. And so I think what we did see, or we're reading into the numbers, or drawing some conclusions from the numbers that are, I guess, a bit qualitative, is that we are at the point, that kind of that saturation point, where if the more we raise fees, we're at the point where the willingness of the buyer to purchase the licenses to pursue their hunting activities is about maxed out. And as we raise licenses, if we were to raise licenses more into the hunting side, that we could expect a decrease in the number of people pursuing their current hunting activities. So the other thing that you should have seen in that is that in terms of the expenditures for supporting wildlife management and hunting activities, that the current fees that we're collecting from hunters, coupled with the increase in the PR dollars that we're getting, are sufficient to cover those activities, whereas on the fishing side with fish management, fish production, native fish recovery, those categories that are in that sheet that we showed you, that we're quite a bit short of getting the necessary revenue to support the infrastructure of the department to provide for the fishing activities. So we do have a different set of circumstances this time around, whereas last time we were looking kind of at an across the board increase with some variations to that. I don't think that's what we're looking at this year at all.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and Phil, this is Commissioner Smith. I would think OFLA's got a lot of good data on the elasticity question in other states as well.
So. Mr. Vice Chair, Commissioner Carpenter?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to have to get off the call. I've got to take care of getting my wife to the hospital shortly, so I'll look to download from one or all of you here in the future.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Carpenter. Good luck. Anything else then on item one?